Before we start this week's episode of Enough, we've got a really exciting announcement for you. Enough is now part of a new podcasting network called 70 Decibels. And you can find out more at 70decibels.com. Enough joins shows such as The Bro Show, Ungenius, and 11 Minutes to create the new 70 Decibels network. Please go check us out, listen to some of the shows there, and let us know your feelings, maybe in comments, emails, or on Twitter, at 70 Decibels, or you can hit me at imike, I-M-Y-K-E. Thanks.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Doing great. So we were talking, as we always do before the podcast, and we started to get into writing apps. Mm-hmm. Because, like, people who know, I hope everyone knows by now, I'm a writer. Like, that's what I do. I have my tech consulting business, and that's one thing I do. But, the other half of what I do is writing. Like, I actually make an income doing so. Mm-hmm. And my tax guy considers me one, since the income actually mainly comes from the writing.
Yeah.
These days. We're talking about, like, apps and things I've experimented with. And 'cause you know me, I'm always running crazy experiments. Life is an experiment. I have fun. I have fun, like, trying things out and pushing the boundaries and stuff like that. So okay, all right, fire away. What do we want to know about writing apps?
We've spoken on the show previously that at the moment, with the project that you're currently working on, you're doing something quite interesting. You're using just plain text files.
Yeah, well,
to do the actual writing itself.
Well, I want to be very specific about this, because the last project I did just plain text files, but not to be confused with the application Plain Text by Hogbay Software, which is what I'm using now. And more specifically, I have challenged myself in one of my crazy experiments to write the first draft of everything, in which I've done so far, on iOS.
Yes, right.
Okay. Mostly the iPad, but at least with one full essay and with several edits I've done on the iPhone.
So what I want to know is, once these have been done, so once you've got the
first draft.
Yeah, once you've got that all completed, all written up, nice and sweet, what happens to it next?
Ah, okay. So, for a while, Plain Text, the application, synchronizes these text files via Dropbox. So you get this Plain Text folder in your Dropbox, and, all these files, go into there. It's great for writing and drafting and things like that, but the Finder is not a very good way to kind of organize the book, to start to provide some formatting, to tie in research and other notes to and attach them to what you're working on and what you're doing. So that kind of second draft process, I'm actually using Scrivener. After many attempts to wrap my head around it before and not being able to do so, it finally hit me on this, seventh, eighth try that I've done with this book. I finally realized what it was.
Okay, so Scrivener, for anybody that doesn't know, is a pretty heavyweight text application that a lot of people word processing kind of dealio, in which it's effectively everything a book writer could want or need, and it has multiple layout settings. It allows you to be making notes all around the side of your pages. You can lay out chapters and outlines and storyboards, and you can keep research materials and everything all inside this one massive, beautiful application. Is that a fair way to sum it up?
Yep, and organize your various projects as well. So, you know, you can actually have like multiple book projects that you're working on within it, that sort of thing. I'll tell you when the aha moment happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after I got into it and I said, okay, I'm going to import this folder of text files, which, you know, it does very nicely and cleanly. I pointed at the plain text folder and said, okay, you know, import this in. Did so, and I started organizing things around, and then it's like, oh, okay, so here's this research, you know, section. I can like pull all of my research into that. So I basically, all of this research I beforehand had been compiling bookmarks and, things I've, copied and pasted in RTF documents and things like that, web archives, PDFs. I've been gathering all this stuff in Yojimbo. And so I'd been tagging it with the book title. And so it was very easy for me to just, sort all of those things out in Yojimbo and then export them out and then import them into the research folder in Scrivener. You know, super simple process. So then I'm like, oh, okay, so how do I attach the... And suddenly, I'm like, oh, this is an operating system. This is an operating system for writers.
Huh. Okay.
And when you think of it that way, if you think about it in the context of an operating system where, certain sections are for certain things and certain files live certain places, and basically you suddenly get that, oh, yes, right, I should have seen that all along. And once you do, you realize, okay, so now that I understand it as an operating system, I now have a reference point on which to organize this stuff to best support the work I'm doing. And there's tons of features that I don't use of it. I think what's put me off before is I think it's really designed more for fiction writers than it is necessarily for nonfiction writers. Though nonfiction writers are not precluded from it. I just think that some of the features are almost specific to that. The kind of, keeping track of characters and their biographies and things like that, that I don't use.
You can sort of jerry-rig that into other elements, though, can't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Real super simple and easy, as well as, it's got a really nice, I think, labeling system so that you can label things as, okay, this is the first draft, the second draft, this is done, this is, you can label something as a to-do. Like, I've got several things that are labeled to-dos that basically are, like, I've got way more to say on this than I have right here, right now, but it hasn't been done yet, sort of thing. So to make it a first draft or a second draft wouldn't quite be appropriate as much as it is, I've got things to do here, Mm-hmm. So basically I'm using that to organize, especially to attach reference materials to each essay so that... as I start to shape and refine these from the first draft stage, any reference that I've captured that supports that is easy for me to see. And you can do all of this without leaving Scrivener, because Scrivener has this really great kind of split pane mode where it will split the kind of center writing pane horizontally and allow you to load the other pane with something else, either another document within your Scrivener files, or in my case, you can load web pages right there in that second top pane. So you can have, or PDFs or whatever form your research is, so that you can have your research up top and kind of have it to reference and scroll through and still be able to get your writing down underneath.
It sounds like Scrivener is one of those applications that could have only been created by somebody who would use it. So it would feel like that Scrivener could only have been created by a writer.
Yes, no question about it. And I think. And I think more importantly, the other thing that put me off at first is that because of that, it's designed around the way that that writer thinks. Or I should say the way that he works, not the way he thinks, but the way that that writer works, which just happens to be amenable to a way a lot of other writers work and tends to be standard practice, but was not necessarily the way that I work. And so, for instance, I still do not know if I could, me personally, write a book in Scrivener.
Right. So you can use it to, you're using it to organize.
I'm using it to organize, and I'm using it to massage, as it were. You know, I'm using it for editing and organization purposes. I am not using it for first draft purposes. For me, I still need the beauty of a blank sheet of paper, and that's what a plain text file and plain text, the app, both give me, is kind of this blank sheet of paper approach without anything else getting in my way.
And our friend, Dave Kaler, friend of the show, he recently posted on 52 Tiger about how he's outgrown Scrivener. He said he'd always used Scrivener. He used it to write his first two books, and he really enjoyed it. But the issue that he had, and a lot of people have been working with a big publisher, is that when they want it in Word because they want to be able to enable tracking and changes, etc., on the actual document, on the book document. Because it goes in a doc file, and then once those change tracking elements have been enabled, it can't then be re-imported back into Scrivener, and that's the same with most Mac apps, really. And then it can only live in Word. So, you know, he's saying with his next project, he's just going to write the entire thing in Word because he spends hours getting the project file to the way that he wants it in Scrivener, and then it's only used for the first draft.
Right. Well, and I'm probably going to find a similar limitation. I should state that in this, for anyone who wants to write a book for a major publisher, if you hate Microsoft Word, you probably shouldn't write a book for a major publisher. Like, seriously, because they all use Word, and they all use it for this purpose. And the work that I have done for major publishers, I've never written a book for a major publisher, but I have both edited and tech edited books for major publishers. And Word was a requirement for that, specifically for the track changes feature. And every single major publisher that I am aware of loves this feature. They think that, like, nothing can replace it, that there's nothing else possibly that could, there's no other way to do this except for through this, and you are stuck, and it sucks. So I actually have gotten pretty good at using the track changes feature in Word, but I digress. I'm probably going to run into a similar issue in that I also need a way when I'm working with my editor to see what changes she made and compare with what I have, so I can properly evaluate and review those changes.
So do you use Word when it comes to that point?
No.
Okay.
Then, so what I will likely do is when it comes to that point, I will export these files to text files or RTF, most likely, rich text, and hand them over to her, and she will edit them in rich text, and, you know, through Dropbox, I'll get the edits back. And then I use a program called Kaleidoscope.
All right, yes.
And Kaleidoscope is an excellent program for being able to compare text documents side by side, different versions of text documents. Highly recommended, especially if you work in text files a lot. And I mean, great for programmers too, who want to compare two pieces of code and see what's different in them. For instance,
it also does images, doesn't it?
I believe it does do images. Yeah.
So basically, then in that regard, your publisher doesn't have to worry about how they change the document. So your editor doesn't have to worry about how they change the document. They can just go to town and change it, and you will pick up the changes using Kaleidoscope. Exactly. And does that, I mean, if you ever run into any issues with Kaleidoscope, or is it 100% accurate?
I've never had a problem with it, personally.
That's a top tip, Pat.
Yeah, I really like Kaleidoscope. I seem to remember that the company that developed it was sold or something like that, but that it might not be getting actively supported. But I know for a fact it works well on Lion, so that's, you know, it's fine for me for now. Although I could be completely wrong about that information, getting confused with something else. I don't know. I just use stuff, so I don't pay attention to what goes on behind the curtain. So that's my workflow as it stands right now. Now, in the past, Scrivener wasn't part of that equation, and I wrote almost everything in TextEdit. But similar workflow where, you know, I would write things in TextEdit and in plain text, and then at some point for formatting reasons or to give an idea of, okay, here's, you know, I would basically, because I write everything in Markdown, I would convert that Markdown to rich text and then, you know, export it as an RTF, and then share that RTF with my editor who would make changes, and then I would use Kaleidoscope. So basically the creation tool changed in this particular case, as well as I have this new organization tool that because of the book that I'm writing, it requires a certain amount of research support that keeping it straight did not. And so that's the reason why that's where Scrivener really comes into play.
Just to confirm, from looking at the website kaleidoscopeapp.com, it doesn't appear that they've been sold. It looks like the app is still going strong. Their Twitter feed still is being responded to.
Okay, all right. Then I was completely wrong. Thinking of some other app. Forget I said anything.
You've been instantly forgiven.
Yeah. Instant forgiveness is exactly what I seek in life. And rarely get, so thank you.
So on the iOS devices, do you only use plain text for the writing and the editing and the such?
Yes.
Had you used any previously? You were a Simple Note user, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a Simple Note user. I like plain text because for this project, because of its organization. With it, you can have like folders of documents and organize things that way. So that way it's not just the book documents that I have in plain text, but I have some research documents in plain text that I have there to be able to refer to as I'm writing and that sort of thing. I've got another folder for posts that I compose in plain text, so I can know, okay, you know, here's where all of the posts I've written in plain text blog posts end up, and all of the a good chunk of the letters that I've sent out to my patrons, the patrons' newsletters, are composed in plain text first.
And I think I mentioned to you last time. Have you looked at Elements?
I have not looked at Elements, and obviously in the middle of. In the middle of the game, I'm kind of reticent to change balls, as it were. But so I haven't looked at Elements. I'm sad to say.
I've been a Simple Note user for a long time, and I've started using Elements to do all my notes, and it syncs with Dropbox. I am using iOS 5 at the moment, and there are a couple of little things where it's just tripping over a little, but, I don't hold that against second gear software. because I'm using a beta software.
You're a beta.
Yeah. And it's getting a little bit upset with some of the file naming. I don't really understand why that is, but yeah, such is life. And there's only one feature that I really would like them to add, which is the ability that any links added are clickable. This isn't something I've actually requested to the developer, and they are looking at it. At that point, it will be the perfect app for me, I think. The main thing, I really enjoy the interface. You can use folders, and the default font that they use is just stunning.
You know, font choices are important.
They are.
Because if this is something that you're going to have to look at, 600, 700,000 words at a time, you want it to look right. You want it to be pleasing. It's something that I think about and struggle with in those apps that have made poor font choices, I think. So
the default is what's really important.
It is. I mean, I actually like plain text default, which is surprisingly enough a serif. Anyone who knows me knows I normally like sans serif faces, but I think they chose a pleasing serif face, and I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's Georgia. It's probably Georgia, because Georgia is one of the few serif faces I actually like. I'm not sure what it is, but I like it.
And I think that, there's so many plain text files, but plain text editors for iOS. This could change to rich text editors, as Apple is, improving their rich text support in iOS 5. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. So I'm sure there'll be many, many more apps to talk about over the coming months.
Lots to talk about, and I'm always trying out new things, so I'm happy to talk about this stuff till the cows come home.
I think that's what we love.
But I think I've explained my writing process for now and what I'm using, and hopefully it will help others. Once again, would love to hear people's feedback. Oh, speaking of feedback, before we go. Okay, listeners, dudes, you got to go on iTunes and you got to give us some good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have good reviews to say, I'm not pressuring you. I'm just saying that if you've got something good to say, if you enjoy what you're hearing here, please go to iTunes, find our podcast, and leave a review. It would be so much appreciated.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say I would give everyone who does so a dollar, but I can't do that.
We'll send you love.
You'll have my undying love. Lots of love. Love you long time.
We can't want any more than that, surely.
I can't think why anyone would want even that. All right. So, enough of the pitch. We'll talk later, Michael.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. This has been great.